Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of Jason Lee Podcast.
Oh, my God.
I'm giving myself flowers right out the gate because I made it to work. That is it. That's all. I made it to work. I am not feeling well. But you know what? I asked Rob to get me, and this is not a free advertisement for Starbucks, but it might be. I told Rob to get me a medicine ball. Am I the only person that thinks a medicine ball will cure most illnesses?
No, I think all black people think a medicine ball will cure
illnesses. Black people think the Robitussin is the
That's
tussin.
True.
But I am a medicine ball king when it comes to not feeling well. I'm not really feeling well today, but I'm high off an IV, and I'm here. I'm alive.
There you are. Just don't get me sick.
This has been a week of just people getting killed and just the craziness. This country, I don't know what it's gone to. First, let me give a shout out to everybody back home in Stockton watching, because this podcast is slowly becoming a Stockton hit. People are watching. Our city council meeting, as you know, it's turned into a reality show, but it's getting better. We had a really good show. Let me just give a round of applause to the city council. You know, given the context of everything that we're talking about today, we got to start turning down the noise. It's getting really loud back home. As you know, I'm the vice mayor of Stockton. We've had our challenges, but, you know, we're living in a climate now where people are taking it a little too far. We're going to talk about it today because, as you know, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. That's really the only word to call it. Killed is not even a thing. He was assassinated in broad daylight, and I haven't really gone live to talk about it because I haven't been well. I've been sick the last 2 days, but I had to come to work today because there's so much going on the internet, and so bear with me. Marina's not here today. She's in a Croatian picnic or something. I didn't even know there was a Croatian picnic thing.
Yeah, she goes to a Croatian church, so they're having.
But isn't that kind of racist? We're like. She's going to a Croatian church. I mean, do we go to a black church?
I mean, we kind of do.
But even though we don't, we call it the black church, yeah. But it's not a black church. It's Pentecostal. White folks be rolling around on the ground too.
Barely.
No, there's Church of God in Christ. I remember back in the day when I used to go to New Hope Church of God in Christ right there on Michael Street in Stockton. Sister George, she was a white woman. She was dating a black man, by the way. Sister George, she used to be speaking in tongues and rolling around on the ground with the Holy Ghost too. You know, Kojic. Oh, God. I am the most miserable person when I'm sick. I can get a stuffy nose and a head cold, and I think it's cancer. It's the worst thing. My doctor is in Japan right now, and I'm texting him, I need this, I need this, I need this. Basically, I need to rest, but I've been resting. But nonetheless, I'm here. Mm-hmm. You're late to work today.
Oh, please.
You were late to work. Rob thinks he's still 25 years old out in the street. He's 46 years old or 45 years old.
I don't need you telling everybody my age.
Well,
thank
he's
you very
old.
Much.
And the thing about aging, all of us have to just come to grips with is we are not who we used to be. When we started hanging out, we were 25, 26. We're not that anymore. And so this wanting to keep running the streets and just whatever is the reason why you were late.
When I'm 96, if I'm still single, I'm still going to be in the club.
You're still going to be on Grindr, too. Would you be on Grindr at 96?
Grindr? What is that?
Oh, God. Anyway, listen, it's time to get to the tea with Jason Lee. Listen, even though I'm a vice mayor, I am still on dating apps. I'm not on too many. I'm only on one dating app, which is Hinge. But I haven't been on Grindr. Grindr is just so, like, when it first came out, I think we all downloaded because gays, we wanted something that belonged to us. But if you're still on Grindr at the age of 45 in 2025, you're looking for no good. I think that hookup apps are... They should be beneath us. Although Hinge could be a hookup app, even though I don't hook up off the app, I have probably met one person on Hinge, maybe two, gone on two dates. Actually, three, because the two that showed up at the same time, I dismissed them at the same time. Anyway, you know, there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there.
I think every dating app is a hookup app.
Well, if you're into hookup culture.
Even straight people. I'm sorry. If you go on a date, you're thinking about, am I going to sleep with this person?
Are you?
Yes, they are. Like, I don't think. Am I going to marry this person? Am I going to sleep with this person? It's all wrapped up in the same conversation.
I don't think you're thinking about sleeping with somebody when you want to date.
That crosses your mind.
It's a gay thing.
No, I think straight people, it crosses your mind. Are we going to be sexually compatible? Actually, if it doesn't, then you're crazy.
Actually, I talked to a guy from London the other day, and we were kind of chatting on WhatsApp, and he was telling me that he went over to this girl's house to hang out with her, but kissed her, but didn't mess with her on two dates, didn't mess around, and that he's not one to sleep around, and that he doesn't want to sleep with somebody unless he knows he's going to be with them. So there's still those people out there.
They're few and far between.
Well, they ain't you. Anyway, Trump is in the news again. And this is the thing that they want us to forget about. Okay, I'm going to just be very clear right now. This was consuming global news just about a week ago. And all of a sudden, it's been eclipsed by the news story with Charlie Kirk. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But this is the story that everybody still wants you to not talk about. We want to make sure that it stays in the forefront of your minds because he's on the list. Donald Trump is still trying to deny having a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, despite the tons of mounting evidence proven otherwise. Not only are there pictures and evidence of Trump and Epstein, but now we have a birthday note Trump allegedly wrote.
Allegedly.
To Epstein. The president said that it didn't exist. Now, the letter features a sketch of a naked woman with Trump's name written in the pubic area. Take a look. So this note says, I can't see it. There must be more to life than having everything, Donald. Yet there is, but I don't want to tell you what it is, Jeffrey, nor will I, since I know what it is. Donald, we have certain things in common, Jeffrey, yes, we do. Come to think of it, Donald. Oh, this is a voiceover. What did it say?
Enigma?
Never age. Have you noticed that, Jeffrey? As a matter of fact, it was clear for me. The what? The lust have I saw you. A pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, whatever. Anyway, signed Donald Trump. So that pretty much shows that they're friends, right?
Best friends.
But why do you think they're trying to hide it? Because two birds of a feather?
Well, because he was having sex with children, allegedly. So...
allegedly.
Now, lawyers for Jeffrey Epstein's estate handed Congress a copy of the birthday book made for the financier's 50th bash, which features a letter with Trump's signature, which I just showed you, despite him claiming that it doesn't exist. Now, members of the House Oversight Committee confirmed that they got their hands on the birthday book with that signature from Trump. Speaking on the note, the committee's Democratic ranking member, California Congressman Robert Garcia, said this. President Trump called the Epstein investigation a hoax and claimed that his birthday note didn't exist. Now we know that Donald Trump was lying and is doing everything he can to cover up the truth. Enough of the games and lies. Release the full files now. Well, the thing that's interesting about that note is he said he would do anything. Aren't you scared living in America right now?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Following the birthday note release, Trump said he refuses to comment on a dead issue. It's these code words for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't comment on something that's a dead issue. I gave all comments to the staff. It's a dead issue. Is he saying, people, it's a dead issue?
I mean, that's the theory that's hanging out there right now for sure. And if you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene posting photos of this letter in the hallways, something's going on. Like at this point, the Republican Party is turning itself upside down trying to get this. And the Republicans just voted again not to release the Epstein files.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was probably one of Trump's biggest supporters, and now she's become one of his biggest critics on this topic. And she's, you know, she's the big bad butch blonde body girl that Jasmine Crockett talked about, right?
Yes,
bleached blonde butch body,
bleached blonde bad built butch body.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
Bleached blonde bad built butch body. Wait. Bleach blonde, bad built, butch body. I have the t-shirt.
Anyway, she's now Trump's biggest critic as a result of this whole fiasco, because she's saying just release the tapes. And I think the problem is that if you release the tapes and all these crazy Christians who believe they're fighting for something right or something white. Well, I mean, the reality is that the crazy Christians, what are they called now?
Christian nationalists.
The Christian nationalists are going to have a hard time with this big conflict with Daddy Trump. Daddy Trump at the helm of a child scandal, right? And so this is your reality. You all voted for this. I was looking at a documentary last night on Netflix around 9/11. And I was watching George Bush and how he handled 9/11. And yeah, we know the weapons of mass destruction, all the craziness with Iraq. And if you don't know your history, you got to go back and check it out. But anyway, I was watching all that. Even though I was not a Republican at the time, I think when 9/11 happened, it united us as a country. Because even though we had a Republican in office, he was like, fuck that. You fuck with America, we're coming to get you. And I think I remember feeling all of America coming together and saying, attack on one of us is attack on all. Because that's what the United States is supposed to be about. Okay, and that's without going into slavery and all of what they did to Native Americans and Black people and all that. I'm just saying, like, one thing, when you attack an American, typically we come together. This president has intentionally separated the country and divided us. So that makes us weaker, just so you know. Just want to put that out there. And so I think the fact that we're trying to, not we, but they are trying to shut down this conversation about Epstein is because the minute you know that he's just as similar as to your daddy that used to slide in bed with you, then you know you've been praising and worshiping the wrong guy, even though you should have been doing that anyway. Is that really what they're trying to hold on to, this image? They're fighting to hold on to this image of who they believe they voted for, even though they know it's been slipping since day one.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I don't believe they're even trying to hold on to an image. They're molding an image, because anything that comes out about this man, they find a way to justify it. And even with this, I feel like there was a divide in the Republican Party specifically related to the Epstein files. But even still, there's a whole section of this MAGA community that are finding ways to justify or figure out ways to excuse why he's on the list, or pointing out the fact that Bill Clinton's on the list. Well, nobody else is defending the fact that Bill Clinton's on the list. Nobody's running to his defense. So
you know who ain't on the list?
Barack Obama. Correct.
And Michelle Obama. Even in that documentary I was watching last night, Barack Obama has so much class and grace in the way he unified the country. You can say whatever you want about his politics. I thought Barack Obama was a phenomenal president. And even how he went after Osama bin Laden and the way he talked. I mean, this was a man who was being attacked and questioned whether or not he was American, but still stayed really focused on his mission and carried them all out. I almost want to say he was the perfect president. Mm-hmm. But y'all would never let him get that title. I don't know how we got here. You know what's so crazy is that city council last week, a guy came in there, criticized me, which, you know, he has the right to do. And he had a 45 and 47 on it. And I said in the meeting, I talked a lot about race. I had a lot to say, but this is what I said. Take a look. So I have traveled around a bit. And I've lived in different places, as I said earlier. And in those communities like Los Angeles, Miami, New York, larger cities, or traveling around the world, I've noticed that race is a embraced thing. Cultural differences is an embraced thing. My mom is white, she's Italian and Greek, my daddy's black. But I've never, being in Stockton, I never saw race. Like, I just saw my neighbors. But I do talk a lot about race. Because as I've been an advocate and an activist, race is a thing that is important specifically to me. And so as somebody who's elected and who went around and talked about racial disparity or lack of inclusion, you know, I've been advocating for DEI and just had Jasmine Crockett on my show this week. We talk a lot about racial disparity in this country. So I didn't know, or I wasn't aware that the word race or the theme of race was such a triggering thing in this community. It has had a ripple across social media. I have received so many calls, people praying for me, calling me, telling me, be careful, don't do this. You know, I just want to say that race for me is not a bad thing.
So I'm not going to ever apologize for discussing race. I'm never going to apologize for making sure that when I develop policy recommendations or talk about equitable distribution of resources or the need to, as the mayor would say, those who are first should be last and those who are last should be first. I will never, ever, ever apologize for it. But I'm not weaponizing race to divide people. I'm actually using race as a way of calling people into a conversation about equity. And my goal is not to align with any divisive national narratives that are just that are dividing the country, that are making neighbors look at each other weird or feel some type of way. The guy got up here earlier, had a hat on that said 45 and 47. That ain't an address. I know what that is. But I listened to him. I heard what he had to say. I don't necessarily agree with 45 or 47. And if he tried to get 48, I ain't going to agree with that either. But that doesn't mean that I'm turned off by the conversation that he may bring to the meeting. And I just ask all of my colleagues to be very open-minded as we talk privately about inclusion, that we embrace it publicly. Councilmember Enriquez and I met this morning with Dr. Rodriguez from El Concilio about creating a community and culture conversation. And that would be something to embrace, bringing people into the fold to have a conversation about how we embrace the diversity that makes the city one of the most beautiful cities in the world versus using it as a means to divide us.
At the end of the day, regardless of what race you are or political position you are in the world right now, I mean, we have to find a way to come together. And having something like this lingering over your leader is not going to help. Just go ahead and release the damn file, right?
Yep. And again, the party that keeps voting to not release the files is the Republican Party. They voted again this week to not release the files. And that says a lot.
Says but a why lot. Not just release it?
Because they don't want their God leader to look bad. Because they know he's all through the files, even though they spent months and months and months redacting his name from the entire file. So it's like, at this point, just release it and let us make a decision on how we want to move forward as a country. But hiding it from us doesn't solve anything.
It's like hiding the UFOs.
Okay.
Well, ET phone home and say release the damn file. All right. Anyway, bye. Charlie Kirk shot dead in broad daylight. Now, you know, I will tell you, I've had to turn off social media over the last couple of days. One, because I didn't feel well. But two, it's like all people are pushing is Kirk, 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 Kirk. Let me first start by saying that as somebody who has built an entire career over saying what he believes, who ran a campaign and now leads the city saying what he believes, I don't believe that anybody should be murdered as a result of having their own opinions. Now, I will say to whom much is given, much is required. And when you do have a loud voice, you do have to be very mindful of that. And unfortunately, a lot of what's going on in the world right now with the political climate has led to one of the most wildest moments in U.S. history. Now, if you were born in the 60s, you saw multiple assassinations with some of our biggest world leaders. And those that I remember, like Dr. Martin Luther King, were fighting for peace, were still murdered, but they had a loud voice. And then you had other people like Malcolm X that was assassinated, John F. Kennedy, and others. Well, since the 60s, I don't know that we've witnessed an assassination in the United States. And I know that pre-social media, it was one thing. But now with social media, it has now consumed world news. It has consumed social media. And it's having an effect on us that I don't even know if we know what's happening right now. First, let me just get into it. 31-year-old Kirk, Charlie Kirk, conservative activist, also known as Trump's right-hand man and the Trump Whisperer, died this week after being fatally shot in the neck during an event at Utah Valley University. Now, he leaves behind his wife, Erica, two kids that are ages 3 and 1. Let me show you a picture of the family. This is them on happier times, of course. Now, the shocking incident quickly sparked nationwide conversations, especially as Charlie, who's condemned black-on-black crime, which we know ain't a thing, died while literally speaking about black crime, gun violence, and mass shootings. Now, shocking videos have gone viral showing the bullets striking the left side of his neck, causing tons of blood to gush out as his body went limp in his chair. Now, eyewitnesses told the press that the man police initially detained yelled, "I do it again." The FBI then claimed that they had a suspect in custody, but after interrogation, they released them with their investigation ongoing. Now, a day later, they released these photos of a person of interest in the shooting. Let me show you. Now, video footage of the alleged suspect also surfaced showing him before the shooting limping while walking to the campus. Now, it's suspected he was limping as he had the rifle tucked in his pants. And plus, the tons of cameras watching, who'd suspect a man with a limp? Now, the FBI also released footage of him after the shooting. Here's both of those videos. Take a look. This is him walking down the street. He'll enter shortly. There you go. Okay. And he's walking across the street. That's that little limp you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one that did it?
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Well, let's say allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because he had the rifle in his leg. And that's him after the shooting. Okay, well, Donald Trump initially spoke out about the attack, calling for God to bless Charlie and for the public to pray for him. In his post, he called Charlie a great guy from top to bottom. Moments later, Trump confirmed Charlie's death. Take a look. He posted on True Social saying, "The great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie. He was loved and admired. By all, especially me, and now he's no longer with us. Melania and my sympathies go out to his beautiful wife, Erica, and family. Charlie, we love you." Now, it was ironic that Trump found out before everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the one that announced it to the news.
He did announce it to the news. And I think part of that, too, is the FBI director is trash.
What does that have to do with this?
Because he's the one who should have been investigating this whole circumstance. He's the one who should have been in front of the public announcing all the information that related to this case. And he's the one who also fired the head of the FBI department in Utah because he said she was a DEI hire. So I think a lot of that to me is problematic.
Mm. Well, listen, I watched the video and, you know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really follow Charlie Kirk before this. Of course, I now have consumed more Charlie Kirk videos than I want to. You know, I want to first start by saying that nobody in any country should be killed for sharing their views. In any country where democracy is not welcome, I think people should have the right to use their voices to advocate for better experiences, better living conditions, and whatever their freedoms are. And we know we live in a world where in many countries, people don't have the freedom of saying what they want or living how they want. And this for me, was very concerning because you think about it, you know, I am a very vocal person. I am an elected official. And so what does that mean now that we just start killing people who we disagree with? I think political assassinations in this country and in any country are just, it's just as low as it can go. I do say that people have a right to say what they feel, but we also understand that that does come with a consequence. There were lots of people online that felt like Charlie should have been murdered a long time ago. A lot of people that said that they had no empathy or sympathy for him. And in fact, people that watched his last sentence, literally where he was throwing gang violence into the mix of mass shootings, on the same day there was a mass shooting by another person that looked like him, people were saying that that's kind of your karma. And that karma is real. Listen, I believe in karma, but I also believe in empathy. And I don't believe in reveling in somebody's death. I think watching any man, any woman, anybody get murdered on camera is, I mean, if you think that it's okay, you just don't have a heart. But I understand where people feel and why people feel the way that they feel. I don't believe in having sympathy for people who don't look like us, who didn't like us or didn't care about our issues when they were alive. And I think that we also have to stay true to who we are as people. If I don't like somebody's position on things when they die, I'm not going to all of a sudden feel bad for them. I feel bad for the situation, but I don't necessarily feel like this is somebody that I align with on many things. I mean, he said some very hurtful things about people of color, women, gays. And I understand that, you know, for many people, they're trying to say, oh, well, he was a man of God and, you know, he was a man of God and he, you know, I'm a man of God. But that doesn't mean that men of God are perfect. And he wasn't perfect. And I think that what he said and what he did many times on his show and in speeches was very divisive. And again, I think that going to college campuses, challenging people to debates, that's your choice. I think he chose to say things that divided people more than it did bring them together. What do you think?
I think that this is a person who used Christianity to create divide and to pull in followers. And to me, that is a huge flaw, because in my opinion, you can't call yourself a Christian, because I'm a Christian too, whether people want to accept that or not, based on the way that I choose to live my life. But I know that I put God first in everything I do, you as well. But this is a man who publicly said empathy was a made up term. This is a person who, after a school shooting, said that some gun deaths are unfortunate but necessary to preserve our God-given right to the Second Amendment. This is a man who said that there should be public executions that are swift and they should be televised. None of those things are founded in anything that is rooted in Christianity or anything that is rooted in a faith that is based in love or sympathy or empathy. Like, none of those things. So to me, he built a legacy on violence, and he built a legacy on fear and hate. And none of those things are founded in Christianity to me, which is crazy. So all of these people, I've had to personally unfollow a lot of people this week, because it showed me that they also are willing to use Christianity in a way that weaponizes it, similar to, and this is maybe a hot take, similar to a person like Hitler, who used Christianity to wrangle people in and create fear around a community of people. And it led to a massive amount of violence. And I feel like that's a place that we are currently in this country.
Yeah. And I think social media is not helping. I mean, I think that, you know, everybody ran to do a Charlie Kirk video for the sake of going viral and spreading a lot of information or a lot of misinformation around the internet. I saw lots of people that are not educated on the whole Christian nationalist movement saying a lot of different opinions. I think two things can be true. I think you can have empathy for a man who was assassinated on camera and believe that we live in a world of where free speech should be a thing. But we also understand that you can't get on a plane and you'll bomb, that there are consequences for free speech to some degree when you do things or say things that cause harm to other people. And, you know, it's one of these things now where I think the governor of Utah said, is this the off ramp or is this the thing that's going to keep going, right? Like, is this the thing that's going to put some gas in it? I don't know. That's what we have to ask each other, because I've been asking myself, you know, and I believe right now the social media in the world is just so loud with hate that I don't want to add to it. You know, I want to turn the temperature down, because we do live in a world that requires us, if at least in the United States, if we're going to make any progress, to come together. And I don't know how this whole Charlie Kirk life and death helps us with that. Now, Trump released a video statement on Charlie's assassination, plus his own assassination attempt and other recent politically charged shootings. Take a look.
My great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight, all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and the country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there's never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven. Our prayers are with his wife, Erica, the two young, beloved children, and his entire family who he loved.
Now, people are saying that's an AI video, allegedly, because Trump did say those words, but I don't know that that's his video. Either way, Trump also announced that he'll posthumously award him the Presidential Medal of Freedom following his assassination. Now, he predicted the ceremony will have a very, very big crowd. Along with videos of Charlie's death, his last Instagram post and more started circulating. Take a look at his last Instagram post. This was a video. This was a photo of a video of a woman from Ukraine.
Yeah.
Great, right? That was on a bus and was brutally stabbed by somebody in the video. It was a black man. And the ironic thing is that, remember the guy, Penny, who killed somebody black on the train? I think it's Eric Penny or something like that. He was treated like a hero. In fact, he was invited to sit next to the president or vice president somewhere And they got... Anyway. Here's a clip of Charlie talking about gun deaths, unfortunately being worth it to keep the Second Amendment, as Rob said. Take a listen.
You will never live in a society when you have an armed citizenry and you won't have a single gun death. That is nonsense. It's drivel. Wow. But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal. It is rational. Nobody talks like this. They live in a complete alternate universe.
Well, now he added to that because now he's the gun death.
Exactly.
And this is why we have to be careful of the words that we put out there in the universe. I mean, he didn't know he was literally talking about himself there in that moment. Very troubling. This whole thing has been very troubling because there are so many people out there watching all of us on the internet that are driven by what we say. And this is just a reminder of, again, how to be more mindful of the things that we put out there, because not everybody is wound properly. Now, elsewhere, Amanda Seales said she couldn't have empathy for Charlie Kirk. Listen.
First of all, Charlie Kirk don't believe in empathy. He said it's a bad thing. He said it's some new age made up shit. He also said people got to be sacrificed in order to protect guns. If he was saying that while fighting for reparations, I may have a little bit of empathy. But this white on white violence, he died? Damn, B. Life comes at you fast. I can't have empathy for someone like Charlie Kirk because I cannot be in his shoes. I have no frame of reference for that. I have no cognizance for that. There literally is nothing about his existence that I can relate to. So I don't have any empathy because I have no connectivity. I have more connectivity to someone who is a complete stranger that dies of a drug overdose than I do to someone like Charlie Kirk, because life is hard. And I understand that, because it takes very little for someone to end up committing themselves to an existence of numbness. I understand that. That man got murdered at 31 at a college event in the middle of a sentence talking about black gangs. What a way to go. He was actually taken out by an old white man in one of the whitest, whitery, witty whites states in existence. He didn't get murked in Watts now. They took him out in Utah. Ain't no way it was a black man that took that man out. Not in Utah. And right as that bullet hit him, that man was in the middle of talking shit about gangs. White on white crime. These thugs, y'all, say that it's best to go doing what you love. And he left doing what he loved, spreading disinformation to white people, grounded in racism and bigotry, backed up by an inflated ego, funded by the world's worst people. So, you know, he went the way many would wish to go, living his dream.
Okay, what are your thoughts on that?
This made me like Amanda Seales again, because I had gotten off that train a little bit because I felt like she had been derailed a little bit. But I feel like she's been having takes that are rooted in sanity. And like, this to me was the epitome of what Amanda Seales is about. Like, she really does speak from the heart and speaks truth. And she, everything she said in that clip was the truth. And to your point earlier, I do not condone political violence in any form. Gun violence is heinous and it should be condemned. But everything she said is true.
Everything she said is true, but you can also have empathy. You can have empathy. I'm not saying, see, the thing about it is we're not, I believe in calling out racism. Mm-hmm. I believe in calling out bigotry. I believe in calling out disinformation. I believe in calling out people who don't believe in uplifting marginalized communities. I believe in calling it out. But I also believe in having empathy, because how do you fight hate with hate? How do you fight hate with, how do you fight it with the same energy? The only way to change it is to have some empathy. There's no way that I can look at any individual that's murdered, no matter who they are, and say, you got what you deserve. Maybe old Jason would have. Maybe old Jason would have. I'm not saying that I disagree with anything she said. I think timing too, right? Mm-hmm. I just think like right, it sounds like she found out he died right there in the moment.
Yeah.
She didn't care at all. And what I'm saying is, are we to a point now to where we don't care at all?
No. And I think that we can find a way to separate them. And I think this has been a huge conversation online specifically around this topic, right? I think that like Black people, Middle Eastern people, women, people in the LGBTQ plus community are in a space where everybody's trying to force them to have empathy for someone who never had empathy for them, and a person who actually brought pain and hurt to their life for a very long time.
But can't we still call that out, but still feel bad that a person was murdered in broad daylight?
I think you can say, hey, I don't agree with the idea that a person was murdered, but I don't think we have to force people to be in a space of empathy for a person who was the cause of their pain, right? So for example, and this is a far stretch, but for example, if you were a person who was a family member of a person who was murdered by Jeffrey Dahmer and you were sitting in the courtroom, or you found out he died in jail, do you have empathy for that person? Maybe not. You can say, I don't agree with the idea of someone being murdered, but having empathy for a person who caused pain and hurt in your life is not a space that you necessarily have to live in. And I think forcing people of color to feel empathy for a person who consistently created an environment where mobs, that was a mob of people. I'm going to call it a mob. That was a mob of people who were radicalized to believe that Black and brown people are evil and are uneducated and don't deserve the positions they're in and aren't qualified to fly a plane. All of these things were perpetuated by that man. And he created a whole business on it. He created Turning Point USA, which was a massive Republican organization that was driven by the idea that white people are being replaced by people of color.
But let me tell you, we also, okay, let me play devil's advocate. Let me say, I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. I'm mm-hmm. saying for me, I'm at a place in my life where I can call out racism. I mean, looking at all his content, in my opinion, he said a lot of racist, a lot of race baiting and rage baiting type of things. His content is not my type of content. In fact, we're the complete opposite. I mean, he said that if you get on a plane and there's a Black pilot, you know, they're probably a DEI hire. He talked about moronic Black customer service women. I mean, a lot of his content was just, it was rage baiting. But what it did do, and here's where I'll play devil's advocate, he did what the Democrats can't do and what the left has not been successful doing, is he does speak directly to a base that he's able to get them fired up and to organize them. And he did it in a way that built a lot of power for his movement. Mm-hmm. I think that the other side needs to do the same, right? Because I think there's a lot of messages around equality and inclusion and hope that's missing in the conversation today. I'm not saying that people should have empathy in the sense of they should feel bad for him, mourn him, and then start becoming a Charlie Kirk follower. What I'm saying is that in this country and in this world right now, in my opinion, just looking at everything, humanity has been lost. And I feel like right now we are such us versus them, you know, this brewing civil war that people believe is on its way to happening, the further division in this country because of the president and all of his rhetoric. There's everybody, I think, wants to find some way of bringing us back together. When I was mm-hmm. looking at the 9/11 documentary, that was a time in the midst of a huge crisis. Our country came together. And I remember feeling that sense of unity because we were all mad at somebody else. Now we're mad at each other. We're all looking at each other crazy. I mean, the Supreme Court just ruled that you can stop somebody from being brown now. And, you know, if they speak Spanish or work in a low wage job. I mean, I don't even know what this country is turning into, but it's because we're not paying attention. We're being distracted by the rhetoric online and the narratives of things that are dividing us versus us looking at it for what it is. A man was murdered on camera, assassinated for free speech in a country that is supposed to be about free speech. Even though the speech was hate speech, he was in a country using his constitutional right of free speech, and he was assassinated in broad daylight. That is wrong. I'm gonna condemn that. I don't care what he was saying. I don't care what, even if what he was coming out of his mouth at the time was fuck Jason Lee's dead brother, he still shouldn't have been assassinated in broad daylight like that. That's just wrong. That said, On the other hand, we have to be more mindful of the things that we are saying and the energy we're creating in the universe right now, especially when we have a loud platform like this or like this. I'm nowhere near as big and influential as he is, but my content still hits all around the world. And I want to be clear that there were days where I was completely reckless with no guardrails because it was just how I was feeling at the time. But I've learned over the years that I can be critical and criticize without condemning or being just outright evil. And it's too easy these days to go viral. I could go viral right now. If I came on here condemning him and just saying the most vile things about him, it would go super viral. I end up on every show because the ecosystem of this world we live in right now rewards that kind of behavior. I ain't gonna do that because I am trying to transform my world in the best way I can by using my voice. And I don't think I should die as a result of that. And I don't think anybody should die, right?
I completely agree with that. 100% agree with that. And I think the conversation is moving in that direction. But unfortunately, it's only moving in that direction from one side. It's one side is saying we don't want to see this. We want common sense gun reform. We don't want to live in a society where people have access to firearms and can just kill anybody for having an opinion. Like, that is not the world we should live in. But immediately after his death, it was a call for violence from the other side saying, this is a war. We're going to come after the liberals. We're going to do this. And it turned out it wasn't even a liberal person who did it. So, I completely agree with it. This should never happen in American society.
Now, there was also a couple of white women who found it hard to fully mourn Charlie. Here's New York City hypnotist and author Melissa Tears. Now, before I show you this video, I have to tell you, I posted this on my own social media and said it pretty much sums up everything that I feel. And hopefully this is what I just said. Take a look.
On a day of mourning, a national day of mourning for Charlie Kirk. So let me just say this. I don't believe anyone should be shot for their political beliefs or for any other reason. I have marched for safe gun laws my entire life. After every school shooting, every mass shooting, every church shooting, and the right wing says thoughts and prayers, or as Charlie Kirk said, that's the price we pay for keeping our guns. I don't believe anyone should be shot, and not this guy either. But let's remember who the fuck this guy was, huh? Homosexuals should be shot, he said, because they're an abomination. The way to fix homelessness is to lock them all up. Black people don't have brain processing power, so if he gets on a flight with a black pilot, he's nervous. Women shouldn't be allowed to vote. He said a lot of shit. I don't think he should have been killed for it. But I don't think we need a national day of mourning. What about the Democrats that were shot in their home as they slept by someone with a Democratic hit list? Where was the outrage? Where was the tweets from this piece of shit president, huh? Or the three kids that were shot the very same day as Charlie Kirk? No, no one should be shot. We need gun reform. This ain't gonna do it, because nothing else has. But what it is going to do, and already has done, is radicalize the right wing even more. They're talking about putting down the radical left, and they don't even have a suspect. Laura Loomer says, use the power of the state to put down the radical left, the violent radical left, and they don't even have a suspect. It's about to go down, people. Pay attention.
Then historian and author Charlotte Richards said this about Charlie's death.
He didn't deserve it, but he did get what he thought other people deserve. He paid a price that he was willing for other people to pay, that he said was worth them paying in order for him to have certain rights. He gleefully, willfully participated in the escalation of violent identity politics, where he loudly proclaimed that his beliefs should shape other people's worlds. Their rights, their lives. He thought women should be in the kitchen, that young girls should carry their rapist babies, that the genocide in Gaza wasn't real, that the Civil Rights Act was a mistake. He spread misinformation around COVID, compared vaccine mandates to a...
Elsewhere, political analyst Matthew Dowd's remarks got him a pink slip from MSNBC. Listen.
Following up on what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
Well, he then apologized. This is what he said. My thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of Charlie Kirk. On an earlier appearance on MSNBC, I was asked a question on the environment we are in. I apologize for my tone and words. Let me be clear. I in no way intended for my comments to blame Kirk for this horrendous attack. Let us all come together and condemn violence of any kind. I don't know why you apologize. I didn't think you said anything wrong. This is why I love being able to own my own platform, because baby, y'all will not have me apologize for anything. You know, let's not forget what the suspect in this whole thing looks like. Take a look. This is a white-on-white crime. I mean, most people right now of color online, I see them saying this is none of our business. And really, it's not, but it is. And I'm going to tell you why it is. Because they're trying to use this assassination to rally up a bunch of people to come looking at us. The radical left, who even knows if this guy is left or right? He looks like a white person who's just tired of white people talking about negative shit, right?
Yes.
But I mean, now all the HBCUs on lockdown, people, threats coming into HBCUs. Why did a white man kill a white man and then the HBCUs got threats?
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. Because they already had an enemy in mind. And the enemy specifically, and it was trained by him, the enemy was us. The enemy is the ones who they feel like are replacing them in this country. So brown people are the first, and then gay people are the second.
And those of you thinking that Rob is just trying to do a dog whistle in Stockton, y'all know I be talking about dog whistles. If you think he's talking about a dog whistle, the governor from Utah literally went on the news and said this.
Praying that if this had to happen here, that it wouldn't be one of us. That somebody drove from another state, somebody came from another country. Sadly, that prayer was not answered the way I had hoped for.
They thought it was going to be somebody Muslim. They thought it was going to be somebody black. They thought it was somebody named Leroy who traveled all the way from Atlanta, from Fulton County, and shot him. And it wasn't. It was his own. And look, I'm not going back on what I said earlier. I don't think anybody should be murdered in broad daylight. And I think that watching this is just... it's devastating as a person who prides himself on being just vocal. But when you hurt so many people intentionally and you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, God didn't give up his only son for us to be able to be out here acting like this. I don't know the Jesus that y'all are praising, because the Jesus that I know doesn't say, hate your neighbor, hate. He says, love thy neighbor. Thy neighbor don't have to be a straight white man. The neighbor could be a Mexican. The neighbor could be a Muslim. The neighbor could be gay. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. How do y'all take one line, love thy neighbor, and turn into love thy neighbor if they white in a man? I don't understand it. Love thy neighbor if they are not having abortions. No, you love thy neighbor, no matter who thy neighbor is. And so it's unfortunate to watch this all go down. Now, a lot of people are alleging.
Allegedly.
They ain't talking about them Epstein files anymore, huh?
Nope. And they were divided on that.
They ain't talking about it at all.
At all. That issue is dead in the water. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it.
You're going viral.
I did.
The gays gonna always find a way to be messy. Always. It's always gonna be something. Dead in the water.
I was saying that topic is just, that topic has disappeared. Listen. They're not talking about it anymore.
MSNBC, y'all done made this man get a pink slip, and now you also apologize for his comments, which you guys called inappropriate, insensitive, and unacceptable. I didn't hear any of that. And you said that there's no place for violence in America. Of course, you have to say that, because Trump will probably try to have you all canceled. Meanwhile, the State Department issued a warning to immigrants.
Yep.
Wait, the white man killed the white man. But the immigrants are getting a notice?
Yes. They can't say anything negative about Charlie Kirk or they'll lose their visas.
They issued a warning to immigrants claiming that if they're seen praising, rationalizing, or making light of Charlie's death, they will have their legal status reviewed or visas revoked. Wait. The white man killed the white man, but all the immigrants are going to lose their visas?
This is...
I'm confused.
Yeah.
Pay attention, y'all. Shit's going down. It's with the lady, the white lady just told y'all that. Rest in peace, Charlie. Sad way to go. All right, let's move on. Kiki Wyatt. Kiki, first of all, we love Kiki Wyatt. She performed at our award show at the Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards. Was that last year?
Last year.
The fourth annual, because mm-hmm. this year was the fifth annual, mm-hmm. and next year will be the sixth annual.
Yep.
Aren't you excited for next year's show already?
I am so excited.
We need to have like three shows a year, though, because we love having the shows,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And if we get that other thing that we're buying,
yes,
I already know what we're going to do.
Oh, okay. Mm. Got it.
Kiki Wyatt is speaking out after her son, Raja, Key Morton, suggested that she exploited his cancer battle and allegedly claimed it was karma for being gay. Now, in June 2017, Kiki first announced her son's cancer diagnosis in an Instagram post. And in it, she also asked her fans that she planned, she also told her fans that she planned to shave her head in solidarity with her son. This is a look at her shaved head. In 2018, Kiki and Raja, who was diagnosed with stage 4 leukemia, did a video together updating that he beat the disease. Now, in their video, the mother and son duo talked about Raja's cancer battle. Kiki recalled Raja before his diagnosis, barely able to walk and drastically losing weight. And he added that he was literally dying and they didn't even know. But after chemotherapy, Raj's cancer went into remission. Now, 7 years later, he is now accusing his famous mother of exploiting his cancer battle for attention. As he joins TikTok, he decided to hop on the put a finger down trend and air her out. Look.
Put a finger down if you were diagnosed with cancer as a teenager and your parent decides to publicly announce your diagnosis for personal gain and attention, but behind the scenes saying that your diagnosis is karma for you being a part of the Alphabet Mafia, and if they known that you were going to turn out like this, they could have kept their money.
Sheesh. TikTok will make you lay your whole mother out.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I mean, that's the truth that he exists in, and I mean, I don't feel like it's properly made up. It sounds pretty spot on for the reality that a lot of queer people in the Black and Brown community exist in.
I mean, Kiki, we don't want to have to say this, so I'll let her say it.
What was the reason, bitch?
In a follow-up video after going viral, Raja claimed that he thought the trend was relatable and wanted to share a story. He added that his post wasn't to bash his mother at all. He said he just wanted to start vlogging and thought the trend was the perfect intro. After much backlash, Kiki Wyatt broke her silence to address her son's post. And this is what she said. She said, "I will publicly address this one time only. I love my son and I love all of my children. I love all people. Anyone who truly knows me understands there's not a homophobic bone in my body. Like any parent, every day is not sunshine, but my love for my children never changes. I kindly ask you to respect our family, keep us in your prayers, and allow us the privacy to move forward in peace. Love y'all, Kiki." I mean, listen, my mother used to always, I mean, she's dead now, but she used to call me a nigga. She's telling me I'm nothing like my father. And I mean, she said some really hurtful things to me. And mothers, when they're in pain or when they feel some type of way, do say the craziest things. I think Kiki has 12 or 13 children, so I don't know what number this kid is in the grand scheme of this double Brady Bunch. But mothers do say some crazy stuff. And I don't know why he would say that she said it if she did it. And she could have said some things to be hurtful, even though she didn't mean what she said. She could have said some things to be hurtful. This is a woman who did stab her baby dad. So let's remember that. She did stab him, almost killed him. But she also gives me, like, she's friends with all the gays. Like, she's friends. I mean, we're not friends. We're not, like, Big Boom Coon homies. But, I mean, like, Big Boom Coon is all the time.
Big Boom Coon.
But I'm just saying, it's not like, I was going to say Judy, but, you know, I ain't even talk like that. She's not my homegirl like that, but we're cool. And she gives me that she's friends with all the gays, right?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people can be friends with the community and be, like, accepting of the community, but when it hits their home, they're like, I don't want that for my kid. I don't want that for my child. But I also, on the other side, see where a person could feel that way at one point and then evolve into a space where they're more accepting of it, even with their children. Like, I know my mother, for example, was a preacher. It took a very long time for us to get to a space where she understood and accepted me for who I am. She's prayed, like, I don't want you to burn in hell, all the usual.
Does she still think you're going to hell?
No. But we and it took up until this year us having a very like hard, like tough conversation, because my mother knows my heart and my mother knows that I'm a person who, through everything, I've only tried to spread love and acceptance, and I'm a good person, I would like to think. And so it took her a very long time to get to the space of accepting, and maybe that was the truth for her too. She may just not have wanted that life for her child, but loves him enough to get to a space where she can accept it.
I mean, but saying that he got cancer as a karma for being gay is crazy. That's crazy.
I don't want to say what I was going to say. It's
an evil thing to say.
But it also is, I think, a lot of people who are like rooted in their belief system would say something like that to try and push you out of it.
Well, I you know, I'm going to give them the respect of not getting too deep in their business, although I'm in your business. let me just say that any parent that says anything crazy like this to their child, just be very mindful that kid's never going to forget. I never forgot the stuff that my mother said to me. Of course, I forgave her years later. But I mean, your kid is stage 4 cancer, dying, and you say something hurtful like that, Kiki, if that's allegedly what you said, you know, shame on you. But this is your kid and this is your family and you have to fix it. And I think we all do need to do, as she said, give them the space and time to heal their own family unit. I mean, Kiki has been able to carry the weight of her 12 kids literally for years, and to be able to provide for her family and provide for her children. And she's such a gift to the world vocally that I don't want to see this end up in some type of cancellation or something crazy. So Kiki, my prayers are with you and your family. Bye. I'm going to get through this good old cold right here on camera. I want everybody to know how dedicated I am to come to work, because I'm going to tell you, it would have been easy to roll over today and not come.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the page. Oh, God. T.S. Madison and Jess Hilarious. Can I just tell you, you two need to just, y'all are just the golden girls that will never go away. Every time I turn around, the Gwals are fighting. Why are the Gwals fighting? This is the transition I did not want to see happen on this show. Every time I turn around, y'all two are fighting about the trans issues. Okay, listen, let me just sum it up. She's a trans, and she's tired of y'all saying she's a trans, and she's tired of y'all defending that she is a cisgender woman. Okay, but what this is representing is a dialogue that is keeping us separated. This now is the Charlie Kirk of the trans community conversation. It is keeping us separated over and over, right? Mm-hmm. The girls, another fight. T.S. Madison is dragging Jess Hilarious. I think I've said this probably more times than I need to. Again, after the comedian claimed that the transgender activist shouldn't comment on lesbianism since it's not her department. Not y'all telling the T to stay out the L's business. By the way, Jess, you're not in any of this, so you ain't even in the alphabet, so you need to stay the hell out of it. But let me just go on. And look, I have love for both of these women. Believe it or not, I think Jess, I don't know what Jess thinks. She's given me a recent compliment. She complimented me recently on The Breakfast Club. So let me just give a round of
applause. Allegedly.
Round of applause. Thank you, Jess. She basically said that she thought I was going to get a job at The Breakfast Club before she did. Although I'm glad that she got it. I'm glad that Lauren got it, because they, quite frankly, weren't going to pay me enough, and I wasn't going to move there for that. But I love the show. It's my favorite show. And I love T.S. Madison, too, although I don't talk to her much anymore because she's a busy actress, and I'm transitioning into politics. Back to the trans. Now, T.S. Madison and Jess Hilarious, LGBTQ beef, has been cooking for over 2 years. Now, back in July 2023, Jess reacted to a video of a trans TikToker claiming menstruation and womanhood just didn't belong to biological women. In her video, Jess asked, "Who the fuck stands up for us? Y'all couldn't bleed if y'all tried." Now, T.S. Madison subliminally responded, claiming, "There are so many real women that get mistaken for transgender women, and that transphobia affects all women." Now, Jess directly attacked T.S. Madison, who then shared an old video of Jess admitting to once being mistaken for a transgender woman by a male celebrity. Following the incident, we had T.S. Madison on the Jason Lee Show, and this is what she said.
Jess, on numerous occasions, has said that, you know, men have, you know, misgendered her. Mm-hmm. Misgendering is a part of transphobia.
So transgender women don't identify as female.
I don't identify as female, no. I identify as a trans woman.
So you agree with Jess's position that was bullshit?
I agree that Jess took what she heard, because I also took what I heard mm-hmm. out of context. Like, nah, what the fuck?
So I didn't even hear that part.
Because I,
like the rest of the world, react to clips.
Cis women don't own womanhood when it comes down to menstruation, because it also applies to trans men and intersex. I was like, I got it.
We're going to have to create a chart to track all of this, because it's a lot. Now, a year later, in 2024, the two went at it again. And they've been continuously trading shots, with T.S. Madison misgendering Jess and calling her sister. Referencing the label cisgender women, which Jess refuses to be called. And another year later, now 2 years, Jess Hilarious and T.S. Madison are beefing again. This time, Jess poked fun at T.S. Madison's criticism of Snoop Dogg. A couple of episodes back, we talked about Snoop's movie date with his grandson, asking about two women having a baby in the new Lightyear movie. In Jess's weekly Jess with the Mess Instagram series, she said this about T.S. Madison.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with a Mess, and my news is real. T.S. Madison weighs in on Snoop Dogg's comments about the Lightyear movie after his grandson asked him about two lesbians having a baby.
Snoop, you have music videos with women dancing and kissing other women, dancing naked. So why is displaying lesbian behavior in your music videos appropriate? And you are afraid to answer the questions from your grand.
First of all, why is you even, this ain't even your department. They talking about lesbians having baby, women having baby, like with other women. This ain't even your colony.
I thought that was hilarious. It's not your colony. I mean, why is, okay, T.S., why are you taking the bait when you know this is what she does? Why?
But I think, again, like, words are powerful, and words really do like shape the way people think. And Jess Hilarious quite often pokes at the trans community and pokes at the LGBTQ plus community in a way to create viral moments. And it's not cool. Like, I think she does it, and she knows she's aware of what she's doing, because she's creating a show called Jess with the Mess. Like, that's her job. But
in all fairness to Jess, she's not just taking jabs at transgender people. She does jab at everybody. It's Jess with the Mess.
But I think she's known for specifically having a beef with transgender, and
she's known for having a beef with T.S. Madison.
Correct. But I think she does quite often like fuel the flame in this specific department in a very specific way, because she knows her audience base is very anti-trans. And she pushes it.
But one would say cisgender women are tired of being called cisgender women.
Why? It's a biological term.
But I don't remember us calling them that in the early 2000s.
It's a scientific term. It's a literal scientific term.
Why did we never use it?
It just was not a common term that was used by the general population, but it's a scientific term. It's literally a scientific term. So why are we so upset about the term cis?
Well, because I think women are tired. I mean, again, I think all of this is comical, to be honest with you. But I understand your point of view. I think that cisgender women are tired of defending their uteruses. They're tired of defending their womanhood. They're tired of defending this or that. They're tired. So I get it. I just think they're tired. But I also think they're trolling this one mm-hmm. specifically. But I do think, like, you know, if we had our testicles talked about every day, what we were going to do with our testicles, this or that, whatever, and then we were like, we would get tired too. And this has been happening for years, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, I understand it, but I do agree with you. I mean, Jess, you know what you're doing. T.S. Madison caught Jess with the mess and said, let's play. Look, now, Jess, I've been really not saying much about your big dick ass, but let's play. I'm fighting through it. While Jess remained quiet, T.S. followed up with shot after shot after shot, claiming she was telling jokes too. Imagine going through the struggles of life, jobs, marriage, kids, and your menstrual cycle or menopause is kicking your ass, and you got tight-ass niggas messaging you to suck your dick, or you reading comments under videos of you chilling and people think you're a handsome-ass man. It gotta be hard. Imagine being called a handsome guy after your last baby. Yikes. Imagine a man wanting to fly you out to date you, and you've been holding back because your period is on, and he says to you, let me suck your dick, I'll pay you. As a real woman, you have to gag. Yikes. Okay, but my question to you is, why is that funny, but Jess with the mess wasn't funny?
Listen.
No, you can't be picking and choosing.
Yes, you can. When you come.
No, that's the problem. You gays only want to align with each other when it's against the straights. But no, what that's about not true. Jess's content?
That's not true. When you come for the gays, they're going to be way more messy than you can ever be. So just prepare yourself. When you come for the gays.
I always tell people, yes, I'm a vice mayor, but I'm also gay. Y'all never gonna win in a back and forth with me. Just leave me alone, right?
Leave us alone.
That is the one gift that God gave us, right? He gave us the gift of clapping back.
Clap back.
We've been fighting our whole life. We are just tired. We are tired and always ready. Always ready to let you have it. Oh. Now, you know I love all this mess, Jess, because I had to come to work even sick to respond to this stuff. Well, here's T.S. Madison again trolling claims that Jess looks like a transgender woman.
Look at our good sus, honey, Jess with the mess, just out there, you know, getting into the things. Go, Jess. Now, listen, I know y'all feel like that I don't like this girl or whatever, but this girl takes every moment that she gets to try to jab something, and then y'all try to say, I say that she look like a man. But look at her. The deep-rooted microaggressions that she has towards the trans community comes from comments like this. This was just her posted the other day at a place. Look at this. Look for yourself. Yeah, I liked it. I did. I liked it because we're telling jokes, right? Every time that it's about me or any other trans or anything, we telling jokes, right? And what I find so funny is that I'm always somewhere defending women because I see myself as a woman. But she's always on the other end terrorizing women.
Why is she going through this?
The Reese Tisa shit. The two lesbians here. Why, as me being a part of the LGBTQIA community, I can't speak on lesbians? Oh, because I'm not a real woman? Why can't I speak on the things, you know, from my community? But let's look. I'm not the one calling her a man. This is what she go through every day. I actually feel for my CISTER. I actually feel for her. Imagine just having a baby, bitch, and somebody calling you a handsome guy. Wow, wow, wow. Yikes.
I'm not laughing at what was being said about you, Jess. I'm laughing at T.S. Madison because she's a hot-ass fucking mess. I kind of miss her. I'm not calling anybody, though. I'm not bothering anybody anymore. I'm just, like, in my own world. But T.S., I miss the days of sitting on the phone with you and talking shit because you are hilarious, literally hilarious. And why is this picture of Jess...
But it's a good fishy thing. Ariella picked a good picture.
It's a great picture, but why is she looking like that? Like, what, sister? it's too much. And to her haters, T.S. Madison posted this video of her serving looks with the caption, man, 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 man. Coming from a lot of y'all, I'll take it. Because you're saying, anyway, just, it's giving me Beyonce and Carmen. Was that her Nicki Minaj era, the Roman? Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's titties.
I need y'all to get along. Goodbye.
It would be great if they were friends. That would be good.
It would never be. I need to see T.S. Madison go back on The Breakfast Club and fight this out.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Tyler Perry is in the news again because his accuser, well, his alleged accuser,
allegedly
speaks out. Now, Tyler Perry's sexual assault accuser is speaking out again on his $260 million lawsuit. $260 million.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, is he gay? Because I watched the interview and it was giving me like sister.
We used to message.
Who, you and him?
Yeah, years ago.
About what? On Grindr?
On Facebook.
What were y'all talking
It was
about?
Just like a very brief. It's like, hey, and liking pictures and stuff.
But what was it about?
It was just, and then he just stopped responding. I don't know. I don't know why he started the conversation.
But you started with him or he started with you?
He followed me and I was like, who is this? And then we just like.
So now you're caught up in this?
No, that was like 8 years ago on Facebook. I was like, what is. And then I was like, oh my God, that's the guy. And then I went back and then.
So he's gay?
I don't know.
Anyway, he's filed a $260 million lawsuit against Tyler Perry. Now, back in June, the Oval actor Derek Dixon filed his hefty lawsuit accusing this media mogul and his boss of sexual assault, battery, and workplace harassment. Now, this is Derek Dixon, who played Dale on the BET series The Oval from 2021 to 2025. Let me show you a photo of both of them together, okay? They weren't together, but anyway, side by side. Now, Derek claims that he first met Tyler back in 2019 at an event where Tyler allegedly approached him personally, asked for his number, and hinted at casting him in a role. Not long after that, Derek landed a small part on Ruthless, appearing in two episodes. Derek claims that he first met Tyler back in 2019 at an event where Tyler allegedly approached him personally, asked for his number, and hinted at casting him in a role. Not long after that, Derek landed a small part on Ruthless, appearing in two episodes. But behind the scenes, Derek says that the vibe was anything but professional. He alleged that Tyler not only sent him sexual text messages, but also touched him inappropriately on several occasions. And after attending a 2020 party at Tyler's house, Derek stayed the night in his guest house. After becoming too intoxicated to function, he said that that's when the alleged incident happened. He's accusing Tyler of crawling into bed with him and rubbing his thighs. Derek said that he jumped out of bed but tried to remain cool despite feeling terrified that his career would be ended for turning Tyler down. Derek told Tyler that he wasn't the sexual type and that Tyler got up and left. Derek thought it was pretty clear that he wasn't interested in that type of relationship after that. However, Derek adds that despite rejecting Tyler's advances, he allegedly persisted. Now, in another alleged incident, Derek claims while filming, Tyler invited him to have drinks in his trailer where he allegedly asked him if he was attracted to him. Derek said that he told Tyler he was an attractive man in an attempt to de-escalate things. However, he alleges that Tyler pushed him up against a wall and grabbed his butt. He left Tyler's trailer and immediately called his friend feeling sick about it. Before I go any further, what does this sound like to you?
I don't know how to digest this because I never want to accuse a person who's an alleged victim, you know, but I don't know. But I also understand like feel the idea that, you know, you could feel like you could lose everything when you're just gaining everything. So I don't know how to approach this.
So that's when he hit him with this $260 million lawsuit. Now, let me show you a photo of the lawsuit right here. This is an individual who got close to Tyler Perry for what now appears to be nothing more than setting up a scam. But Tyler will not be shaken down, and we are confident these fabricated claims of harassment will fail. Now, we've reported on this before. And listen, this is one of the scary things about letting people get too close to you. Now, I don't know why this man was in this man's house repeatedly by himself, drinking and getting drunk. Anytime you go to a man's house, and y'all both sit up there cocktailing and kikiing. I mean, it kind of is an environment that leads to something happening, right?
Yeah, that's why I was like, I don't know. It's
You're a straight man.
Allegedly.
Going to a man's house late at night, drinking to the point to where you can't drive no more, and now you got to keep spending the night at the man's house. And then what led Tyler to believe, because I'm not hearing from a lot of people that Tyler's running around getting people drunk and grabbing their butts and slapping them up against the wall and then giving them a part and then threatening to give them. Like, I'm not hearing that. Okay. Now, one could say there's a lot of actors that are cute working for Tyler that don't have a lot of skills, but hey, listen, how they got the job is between them and their God, right? But what I would say is that you, sir, slid up under this man, no pun intended, multiple times to sip on the sippy cup to the point to where you and your thighs needed a place to sleep in his back house. And somehow there's a lot of confusion. When I saw the text message we talked about in the other podcast, it looked like somebody texting somebody cutesy. And all of a sudden now, wham, I need $260 million. Now, I know your character got killed off in the Oval, but ain't that what happens in some of these movies? I've seen lots of people get killed. If you watch House of Cards, a whole bunch of people got killed in House of Cards. Even in Olivia Pope, Scandal, people was getting killed left and right. So just because your character gets killed, you want $260 million. This to me seems like a shakedown. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
And he took that free car too. Didn't he give him, Tyler Perry bought him a car?
Tyler bought him a car. He took that car. See, this is the thing. And I have to say this now again. Allegedly. He's straight. Even though he's DMing Rob. If you're DMing Rob, you're gay. Okay. But here's the deal. You're accepting gifts. You're staying the night over your boss's house multiple times. You're texting cutesy stuff. You called him a stud in one of the text messages. You told him he's an attractive man because you were de-escalating. Nah, I always say, what would my brother do? What would my brother do? What would your brother do if a man was texting him cutesy stuff? He would shut it down immediately. Boom. I have straight friends who entertain my foolishness at times because my friends are just my friends. We have a group chat called The Shit Show, where we talk a lot of shit to each other, and sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's cutesy. But here's the deal. That doesn't make them gay, and they don't play gay. But when you put yourself in a situation where you're texting a man, y'all sending photos back and forth, you on a jet, he on a jet ski, he's a stud, you over here, sip, 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 and I want to spend the night, thighs out, and you welcoming. This is why you got a brokey, no jokey. Leave the brokies out of your house, because this is what happens when they get in there, because then they try to set you up for a big old payday. And what you want? I know what you want. Well, that ain't going to happen. Listen, Derek talked about this recently on an ABC World exclusive interview. You got a world exclusive interview. Of course you did, because you said a billionaire filmmaker tried to sexually assault you by rubbing your thighs. Is that... Listen what he said.
Can you explain that first alleged incident?
I got into bed, then I noticed that he climbed into bed with me as well and started rubbing my leg. And I jumped up out of bed.
2021, another alleged incident that you outline in your lawsuit, where you're again at Tyler Perry's home in Atlanta, and it ends up with you locking yourself in a bathroom.
Mm-hmm. We started out having drinks in the living room like we have done before. And it got to a point in the night where, we were both kind of feeling drunk. And I remember we were walking back to the guest area where I've stayed before. And there was this health monitor scale on the way. And I was like, what is that? And he said, well, you have to be in your underwear to measure, whatever. So you should do it. He reached down and pulled my underwear down and grabbed my ass, and I, tried to stop him and pull back my underwear up, and he kind of grabbed my arms and said, no, it's okay. Just go with it. And I said, stop. I don't want to be naked. I don't want this. And he was just like, no, I'm not going to hurt you. And just continued. And in that moment, unless someone's been through something where they have their control over their bodies taken away, you don't really understand the kind of feelings that you get in that moment. It was almost like every thought came through my head to run, to fight, to freeze. I didn't know what to do.
He says he de-escalated and distracted Perry
and eventually locked himself alone in the guesthouse bathroom.
The day after that, he called several times, and I ended up getting afraid of what was going on the other side. So I picked up, and that's when he said, you know, he was sorry for what happened. He doesn't know why he did that, and that maybe he was self-sabotaging or something. And in the same call, he said, and don't worry, we're going to do your show.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you. Y'all were walking down the hallway. You saw a scale. You said, what is that? He said, it's a scale to manage your body weight. Just take off all your clothes and weigh yourself. Why? Y'all drunk, walking, strolling through the mansion. The mansion is, we've seen the mansion. It's huge. He took his clothes off to get on that scale. This is where what you ordered versus what you got. Like, he don't want to tell the full tea, because I was watching him and studying him telling the story, because I was living for every moment. He was telling the story, but didn't want to tell it. What had happened was, you had too many drinks. You wanted to go the oval. You wanted to go the oval. And listen, spare me with the whole blaming the victim thing, because I could tell you one thing, as somebody who's been assaulted as a kid, I know what that looks like. And I know what the Me Too and the Men Too movement that never happened should have looked like. But I also know what these power grab, you think you playing the Powerball, literally the Powerballs. That's what you think you playing. And guess what? Tyler ain't going to give you no money, because nobody in the comments is believing anything that this man is saying. Because if this would happen, because if I was at Tyler Perry's house and he said, and I said, what is that? And Madea said, that's a scale for you to take off all your clothes and get on. Rob, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to my room is do what? FaceTime you or call you or send you a text and say, ooh, you ain't going to, right?
Yes.
Immediately.
100%.
Like, immediately. I would have locked myself in the bathroom and said, ooh, right? That's the first thing that the gays do. That's the first thing that anybody does. I'm sorry. I need to see the text messages where you locked yourself in the room and text your BFF what the fuck was going down. I need to see evidence of you sending a video chat to your mom to say, I am terrified because this big old black man dressed in a Madea dress is chasing me down the hallway of his mansion, trying to lock me up and put me on the knees in his oval like Lewinsky, and I don't want to do it. No, that's what I need to see. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist, because why? It ain't happened. It ain't happened, and Tyler ain't going to give you no money, because guess what? All my life I had to fight. Didn't he reenact that as Madea? He ain't giving you no coin. Why would he pay you? First of all, I seen you die in the Oval. You didn't even die well. You weren't even the best actor. But Tyler, this goes back to you walking around giving waiters jobs. I know you want to give people opportunity. Hell, hire Rob for something. Rob is a better actor than this guy. At least he would have died properly. Rob, does it make sense to you? I know that we don't want to condemn people who make allegations, but let's stop with the PC
shit. There are holes, for sure.
How many straight men have you seen try to slide up under me? or the gays? How many, Rob?
A lot.
So all it needs is for one of them to say, oh, we were walking down the aisle of his home, and he took me in a room and threw me against the wall and shut the fuck up. This is why I always have somebody around. Y'all be like, when are your friends leaving? Never. Not until I could trust you. Never. I always got somebody around, because this is what happens. And Tyler got that house. That house is so big, it's echoes. You can hear voice traveling for miles in that house because it's so big. He was taking you out to your house in the back house and slammed you up against the wall and grabbed your butt. So now you're trying to tell us that you're a bottom and that Tyler's a top. This is the outing. This is an outing. This is what this is. $260 million. $260 million, because you want to prove a point. Let me tell you what Tyler needs to do. And he probably not going to do it, because Tyler's not even the petty type. Tyler needs to countersue you for everything he paid you to die in Oval, plus attorney fees. I mean, I think it's only right.
If he countersued him for $260, that would be petty.
Well, then that would confirm he's gay, because that would be the gayest shit to do, right? $2.60. Anyway, Derek added that he ultimately hopes that Perry takes accountability for what happened and that the lawsuit serves as a lesson to not treat your employees this way and to never use someone's dream to coerce them into a relationship that's not professional. I'm glad I have never hired anybody that I want to sleep with. There ain't nobody that I've hired that I would want to slam against a wall and pull their pants down and grab their butt. First of all, could you have come up with a different scenario? I'm just having a hard time. Let me stop. I don't even want to go there. I'm going to leave it alone.
There have been some short hires.
Huh?
There have been some short hires that were...
That were cute?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't lose their job because they wouldn't sleep with me.
No, for sure. I'm just saying.
One of them got locked up for smuggling. Let's just leave it alone, okay? We've had a history over here with some employees, but we love all our staff. What?
Oh, God. Yes.
Oh, my God. I just thought of another one. We'll talk later. Anyway, goodbye. All right. Young Thug is in the news. My Leo twin is addressing everything online, and he's sorry. Now, Young Thug has addressed everything in a new interview. All the jail calls mentioning his celebrity friends and calls of him cheating on girlfriend Mariah the Scientist. Now, we left off the last episode with Young Thug facing rat and snitching allegations, him beefing with QC's CEO Pierre P. Thomas, and trash-talking Kendrick Lamar. With all the leaked calls, Young Thug has mentioned Kendrick, Drake, Lil Baby, Future, 21 Savage, Gunna, Glorilla, Metro Boomin, NBA Youngboy, Andre 3000, and J. Cole. And he's since been caught admitting to cheating on his girlfriend, Mariah the Scientist. In two different audio leaks, the first heard Thug telling a friend that Mariah called him upset about another woman posting photos from inside his Atlanta condo. He claimed he told her the photos were old, but really it was just days before he was arrested in his RICO case. In a second audio, Thug is talking to another woman and seemingly planning to start a family with her once he's released. Oh, God, listen.
Hello.
Sandwich, what you doing?
Hey, nothing right there. My heartbeat.
Is that home?
Yeah, I'm at home.
What's up with your baby? I'm Michelle Pinto.
I don't know. I wasn't expecting your call. So, my heart is beating fast right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I make you feel like that for sure.
Crazy.
I wonder what the fuck your heart gonna do when I see you.
Oh my God, I don't know. I know what I would do.
First of all, Thug, why was you talking to that dumbass girl? I'm so sick of listening to stupid jail calls of stupid people talking about stupid things. Then again, I wonder what my jail calls would sound like. Well, either way, after the calls dropped, Thug tweeted an apology to his girlfriend. Look, my baby, I was wrong and I'm sorry for what I put you through. You deserve better for me. Thank you for everything, and I will do anything to make this work. You showed me what love is, and I hope I haven't lost you forever. Everybody, leave her out of this, please. She's innocent. She's an innocent girl and feels bad about all of this. Please give her peace. Well, Mariah seemingly reacted by posting the lyrics to her song, Rainy Days, in which she says she's naive, not ignorant. Look, tell me love and hatred doesn't coexist. Surely I'll reply, that's what resentment is. I was naive, not ignorant. So much for my innocence now. Love me, leave me, let me down. I put forth an open heart and I've been hurt. Looking back in retrospect, that ain't what I deserve. Want it back in blood, and blood I'm going to get. And still I pray for love instead of common sense. Well, it's a great way to promote your album, right? Mm-hmm. Then in an interview with Atlanta rapper Big Bank, one of Thug's OGs, he addressed all the jail calls, snitching allegations, and the whole YSL case, Gunna, and being betrayed. While discussing his explosive jail calls, Young Thug said he thought life was over. Listen.
I feel like I was tripping, but I feel like, because I ain't never did shit like that. I ain't never pillow talk with no girl ever in life. I ain't never in my life held no conversation with no girl about no other nigga ever until jail. And I've been trying to figure out, like, why the hell was I even doing that? And then I just had to, like, think back to when I was in jail. But this shit traumatizing the hell. This shit goddamn make me remember when I was in jail. This shit make me remember those dark ass days and moments I had, bro. This shit make my girl cry. She ain't even tripping about what we saying on the phone. Nigga, we said, whatever I can say twice. I'm a grown man. I'm a man, nigga. Whatever I say twice. And I done said it to every nigga. They know that. Like, I'm going through shit every day. I'm looking at my best friend, them do what they do. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at certain shit. And it's making me feel how I'm feeling. Like, I ain't never been a nigga to pillow talk. I ain't never been a nigga to talk about nobody else in my life on the phone with nobody else. I've never been that type of nigga. I've been, these last few days, I've been sitting around like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, what I was doing?
You said you were saying that.
I think I was just so fucked up and I just felt like it was just over. Like, I'm just sitting in jail 24 hours on 23 and 1. I'm in a cell 23 hours. Like, at this point, I'm just like, man, I don't give a fuck. Life ain't what I'm thinking it is. Like, I'm just talking. Now, at this point, I'm just talking. At this point, I'm just holding conversations with my girl. But the crazy part is, all these conversations that I had on the phone, I also had with the same niggas who I was talking about on the phones. So that's why it don't seem weird between us, me and them. Because I done held these same conversations with Wham. I done held these same conversations with Savage. How I feel about him. How I feel about Wham. How I feel about this. How I feel about every situation. We talk like men. We brothers. We talk. They tell me how they feel about certain things. So we all aligned. We won. We what we is. But you got to understand, like, my standpoint. I'm locked up. Nigga, I'm on the phone talking to my girl every day. This is the only person I'm talking to on the phone. This is the only person that I can talk to. Like, I can't even talk to my family because they just like how they is.
So are you like me and tired of them leaking this man's calls? I mean, what's going on?
I'm just over this whole situation. Just y'all make music and sell it, please. I'm just over all of it.
But let me say, for Young Thug to actually do this much talking and express himself, I have to say more black men need to start talking about how they feel, because, I mean, black men's mental health is a thing and rappers aren't known for really discussing how they feel. I guess to your point, put it in the music, let it be art. But he did that. Well, he know he's talked about Glorilla. That's the one thing I didn't like him talking about, because Glorilla is one of my favorite people, even though she ain't came to the show. Her little cute ass. You know, he talks shit about Glorilla. Well, anyway, while discussing Gunna, Thug got emotional, letting tears fall with a cracked voice. He claimed that although he feels betrayed, he got ratted on, he still has love for Gunna and would rather die before betraying him. Thug said by Gunna signing that paper, he could have got a life sentence, and now he just wants to know why he did it. Listen.
And brotherhood, I honor that shit. I love you, bro.
So, man, that's cold. So you still love him?
Gunna, you my brother. I love you to death, nigga. Why you ain't gave me an explanation? You not to get in touch with me, nigga. My daddy put me in your group text. I don't even want you to have my number. My daddy put us in a group text. I called my members like, hey, who the hell number this is? He goddamn made some phone call. He come back. That's Gunna number. I tell my daddy, man, what the fuck would you put me on text with this nigga for, bro? What the fuck you got going on?
Thank goddamn.
But guess what? Gunna didn't take advantage of that. I wouldn't even probably care to hear the shit anyway, because I feel like once you break a rule from your manhood, I'm going to just look at you like you broke a man code. Mm-hmm. You broke a code that men with backbone stand up to. Mm-hmm. You broke that code. You can talk. You can say whatever you want to say. You broke a man code. I don't look at you the same. But in real life, I don't even want to hear what you got to say, but you still supposed to be a real nigga to say, I'm finna say it. I don't give a fuck if you want to hear it or not. I'm finna say it to make sure he know. And that's why I'm doing this interview. So maybe he need to get in touch with his feelings. As a man, bro, you supposed to text. You supposed to, bro, this what I did what I was thinking. If you rocking with it, you rock. If you're not, fuck it. How can you just do what you did?
I mean, he has a point. Closure is important. I mean, I feel like if I put you on and you ratted me out, I need answers. No?
Well, he's saying he don't want to talk to him. He don't want the answers. He's saying he should have took advantage of the opportunity
he's
to give him
that,
answers, but he don't want it.
He's saying that, but he's not saying that.
Yeah.
The man is screaming for answers. The man needs closure.
Yeah.
The man feels betrayed, or he wants him dead.
Maybe they just need a good hug.
Stop playing.
No, I'm not playing. I'm saying maybe they just need to hug it out.
Why would they hug it out?
Why not? If they care about each other that much and they're friends, can't men hug?
Thug ain't giving me that he wants to hug him.
They need to hug it out.
Thug also addressed his leaked interrogation audio again and insisted he's not a rat. He said he never told on his childhood friend and YSL associate Pee Wee Roscoe, who was convicted as the gunman in the 2015 Lil Wayne tour bus shooting. Thug said he didn't say anything new that the police already didn't know publicly. And when he asked why he heard him giving out his phone number to the investigators at the end of questioning, he claimed it was because he was flirting with one of them. Some of them police do be cute. He said in the full beginning of the full audio, he was flirting from the moment they all walked in. Now, whether fans believe him or not, Thug said he's moving on from the entire ordeal, and he has posted these four tweets in the days after his interview, declaring chapter ended. Look, he said, times like these is when my loved ones are supposed to look at the good I did towards them rather than the ugly. Flaws and all, shout out to Beyonce. To everyone involved in this situation, I'm sorry this is happening, and I hope you guys can forgive me. I'm moving forward with my life. Thank you, God. Chapter ended.
I like that.
So I don't ever want to talk about this again.
Never again.
Ever.
So you're not going to ask if Gunna's a snitch anymore?
Am I going to ask? Yeah. I don't really. Listen, I'm not invested in whether or not Gunna is a snitch. Gunna is a snitch from based on what I've seen. But why he did it, how he did it, what I mean, I don't know all the behind the scenes stuff. I love Young Thug. I love Gunna. I just want us all to get along. Right now, we got other things going on in this world we need to focus on, like yes. The radical, left or right.
Yes.
Is the radical left a thing?
No. Well, I mean, I think there's
that's because you're left.
No, but I think there are radicalized people on both sides for sure.
I'm sick of all the radicals.
But I think the most radical is clearly on one side.
I'm sick of all the radicals.
I am too.
Why can't we just be radical USA? Anyway, bye Thug. All right, it's time for Thoughts and Prayers. Now, we all know the sayings, everything that goes up must come down. Everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. But according to Trump, everything involving him and Epstein together is a lie or AI. Will Epstein be the end of MAGA? The photos never lied. The video clips never lied. And now Congress is claiming your signature over a sketched pubic bone doesn't lie. Sir, it's time to just drop them files. And while we're telling Trump to drop them files, a man alleges Tyler Perry told him to drop them draws. Now, Mr. Perry is facing a $260 million lawsuit accusing him of grabbing
allegedly
his employee's booty. But his lawyer said that his accuser's grabbing for the mogul's money. We'll just have to wait and see how this plays out. Like we've been watching this week's long Young Thug ordeal. This man's escaped RICO charges and then his explosive jail call started dropping like his alleged bodies. Prosecutors tried to pin him on. Am I the only one to notice that? They said we couldn't beat him in state court, so we'll let the court of public opinion spank that ass. And did. The internet ruthlessly attacked Thug for trash-talking all of his celebrity friends, and then social media drug him for filth with that leaked interrogation audio. And in the end, Thug addressed everything from shedding tears for his former twin, Gunna, to apologizing to Mariah the Scientist for cheating. And now he's declaring this whole chapter is done. Unlike the ongoing beef with T.S. Madison and Jess Hilarious. This alphabet soup continues to simmer. And while Jess denies being transphobic, Kiki Wyatt says she's not homophobic. Her son accused her of calling his cancer battle karma for being gay. And she pulled a Trump wanting to dead the issue. And speaking of Trump, his right hand, Charlie Kirk, a.k.a. the Trump Whisperer, is no longer whispering. While Charlie's death was tragic, it's hard to escape the insane irony of it all. Nevertheless, prayers to his family. That's it. Thank God we got through it. Sick and all. That's it for this episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Until the next time, make sure you keep up with us on social media. And in case you missed my interview with Jasmine Crockett, I have to show you this clip. She was just on the Jason Lee Show over at the Zeus Network, where I told her that Candace Owens, who was on the show, didn't know who she was. This is what she said in response to that. Look.
Candace Owens.
Child, she was here?
She was here on the Jason Lee Show. She had the courage to come and face me. But when I brought up your name, she's acted throughout the whole interview that she didn't know who you were. Jasmine Crockett. She's brilliant.
I don't know her.
You do know who Jasmine Crockett is. Stop playing. The Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. You're playing.
I'm playing this game. I would have an opinion. I
you do not know who Jasmine Crockett is.
Tell me something that she did.
Well, I will say that we've never met. I think Candace is still searching for her identity. So if MAGA wants to talk about blackness and who may have it and may not, I think that they may need to look inwardly as Candace has struggled. I remember she had no idea of a very black church saying that we do, which is God that's is good, good
all the time. God is good.
Yes. So
the fact that she acted as if she didn't know you is
I mean, that was in some way shade. She didn't deliver it the way that we would have delivered it.
Listen, if she doesn't know who I am, then she's even worse at her job than I thought she was. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality. I mean, she is Miss Politico. And so if the president of the United States, who I've never met either, can't keep my name out of his mouth or his tweets, then I don't know where you've been, sis. Like, I feel like you're just not paying attention.
We have one more episode of the Jason Lee Show left, and then we will be done for this season. Thank God. This has been the longest episode to get, right? We want to make sure we get the right person. And we already know that some of y'all are outside. So we got to get you inside the studio to get you talking about this new album. Anyway, until then, text me right here at 310-388-6463. 310-388-6463. Rob, do you want to say anything before we leave?
Nope.
Rob was late to work, y'all. Bye.
The Jason Lee Podcast.